Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:02 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 9th. And we saw today that the Nasdaq got right up to the 10,000 level and surmounted it for a brief period and eased off it towards the end of trading. If we look at it over the last decade, it has gone up significantly, up 5 times since 2010. So that's a pretty impressive advance for a major index, and particularly when the largest companies in the world represent about 40% of the entire index. We can also see that the region of the 1,000-day moving average has represented an area of support on multiple occasions, and it is one of the very few global indices that in fact demonstrated support in the region of that 1,000-day moving average during the pullback in March, which certainly stands in certainly in the plus column for the Nasdaq. However, it is also worth considering that the put-call ratio is down at an extreme. So that tells us that there has been a very significant uptick in bullish sentiment, that there has been a lot of buying. There seems to be this clear conclusion that there's a lot of cash on the sidelines. It will inevitably have to be pulled back into the market, and therefore we're back in a bull market environment overall. There doesn't seem to be much discussion about the fact that it doesn't all have to come back into the market at the same time. This is another depiction of just how much the buying of calls in the market has accelerated over just the last few months. Now, this is very clearly a response from retail investors. There has been a massive surge in demand for apps like the Robinhood app, and they raised money in here today for an $8 billion valuation, which is, I think, rather impressive. But the big picture here is we have a short-term overbought condition, and it may yet go further. The continued trend of central bank accommodation is certainly positive, and that, I think, is helping to support the bullish argument. This continued reliance on liquidity is obviously dependent on central banks providing additional support. Now, that is bringing us to the question about what is likely to happen next. There are two factors that are helping to support the continued uptrend in the total assets of central bank balance sheets chart. The first is the fact that they're printing more money, but the Federal Reserve is now at a point where they're going to have to make a decision. They're going to have to ramp up their purchases of Treasury bonds substantially in order to meet a funding mismatch. That alone is helping to put downward pressure on the dollar, and the weakness of the dollar is helping to inflate the relative value of assets sitting on other central bank balance sheets. So the weakness of the dollar, in fact, is a significant liquidity driver for the global economy. And that is clearly a downtrend on the dollar index. The euro was in really quite impressive positive territory in here today, and demonstrating that this looks like not much more than a consolidation below the peak put in March. The dollar was also weaker today against the yen, and the yen followed through on the upper dynamic that it put in against the dollar yesterday. It's shown inversely on this chart. So those are the factors that are helping to support the stock market, but we do have a very wide overbought condition. There is a great deal of good news has been priced in. Now the question is there anything that might derail it? Well, you have a short-term overbought condition, and the conclusion that this has not just been a bear market rally, but that we are on the cusp of a recovery, that there is going to be a significant V-shaped economic recovery in the third and fourth quarters, that this has just been the equivalent of a natural disaster. That was a point I had made back in February, that the closest corollary to what we were experiencing was a natural disaster. The other point that people have been making that has been supportive of the bull market view is that we have not had a second wave in places that have relaxed their lockdowns. So that is being viewed as a positive, and it certainly is a positive. But the bigger question is, how quickly is the economy going to bounce back? How quickly are the millions of people who lost jobs going to be brought back into the workforce? And we don't know the answer to that question yet, despite the prognostications that are being made. We just simply don't know how long is it going to take before all lockdown measures are relaxed? How long will it be before people stop wearing masks, before the intensity or the concentration of people inside buildings is going to return to normal levels? That's a major unknown. It represents a significant challenge to the resumption of normal economic activity, and most particularly to the re-employment of the millions of people in reasonably low-skilled work that have been adversely and outsized affected by the lockdowns in the first place. Well, it seems to me that we are due consolidation. Now, the Dow Jones, for example, was down about 1%. At the close in here today. But again, this has rallied rather spectacularly, up nearly 4,000 points in the space of about 2 weeks. So again, here we have also this impressive rebound. It is now back above the 200-day moving average, and it has ample room in which to consolidate. We can see that the Dow is a good example of the large number of stock market indices that failed to find support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average but have rebounded back above their 200-day moving averages. Well, that gives us a picture that makes it rather easy, certainly easier to analyze these charts now, because they have room in which to consolidate. And in the view of, or at least from the perspective of the Nasdaq, that area of support should probably be around the 200-day moving average, considering how much it has already pushed on the upside. From the perspective of the Dow Jones, well, then it should probably be the 1,000-day moving average, where we should anticipate that support should start to come through. But then we should look at some individual shares as well. Boeing, for example, collapsed from $350 in February to a low below $100. It subsequently doubled in a very short period of time, so that unwound a significant portion of the oversold condition. But the big question is now, how much of that is it going to hold? It's not as if airlines are going to be taking deliveries of new planes in the short term. And the question overhanging the entire company is, how are they going to be able to restructure and hold on to their supplier network without half of them going bust? Well, these are very significant questions. One thing we can certainly think about is that there is the clear potential that we're going to see a lengthy period of consolidation. These kinds of Type 3 top formations with clear accelerations on the downside often end with these impressive rebounds to chasten the bears. But in order for a new bull market to take place, we need a rationale to continue to encourage new investors into the market, and that might not be forthcoming in the short term. So, therefore, there is the potential that at least some of these types of companies are going to move into lengthy periods of ranging and put in Type 3 bottoms. That's certainly a potential outcome here. What that, I think, suggests is that there are going to be very clear winners and losers from the coronavirus recession. We already have an idea of what the winners are likely to be because, well, we know that the semiconductors index, for example, has pushed on to new highs, and it was a very clear outperformer during the hiatus in 2019 as well. We also know that, for example, Apple pushed on to new high ground in here today in a really quite impressive fashion, but it is also really quite overextended in the short term. Microsoft is pausing in the region of its peak, but it's certainly been, I think, noteworthy that it was able to push up and out of this short-term range over the last 2 days, and it's right in the region of its peak, but it is certainly notable for its relative strength. There are other companies that did particularly well because of consumer changes that took place as a result of the lockdowns. Lululemon up over 100% in the space of 3 months is one example. I just can't wrap my head around the rationale for why it should be worth double what it was back in March, but certainly people are buying yoga pants. There's obviously no question there. But when we then think about trends that might have staying power, well, the biotech sector is certainly one of those, and it continues to consolidate here above the peak put in 2015. We can also think about the potential for changes in the economy, which could translate into more work, which would certainly help to support the cloud sector, and a number of those big technology companies are among the biggest beneficiaries of that trend. The cloud computing ETF has been able to push on to new all-time highs, and that is a very, I think, complete and impressive rebound. Now, obviously, there is potential here for some additional consolidation, but it has plenty of room in which to consolidate and still retain that overall period of our position of outperformance overall. Then I think it's important to look at some of the industrial resources, because when we look at, for example, copper, it has been able to push back above the $2.50 area. It is at now back above its trend mean. There is obviously the potential that it may pull back from here, but it is looking increasingly likely that we're going to see some, I think, additional bullish action from some of the industrial metals. Aluminium, for example, has been resurgent over the course of the last while. It's still got a medium-term downtrend, but it's at least unwinding that oversold condition. The tin price is another where it has been able to push back above the trend mean, and it had this failed downside break below the lows put in 2015 and 16. Well, when we start to string it together, we can see that the majority of the industrial metals are engaged in short covering rallies, and they do have potential for additional upside. That is helping to support the performance of the industrial metal miners. And the BlackRock World Mining Index is coming, or excuse me, Trust is coming back up towards the upper side of the range that prevailed before the breakdown earlier on this year. So it is pausing right now. If it can sustain a move back above 400, well, then we would have clear confirmation that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for the resources sector. I think it is reasonable to conclude that we are likely to see an infrastructure-led boom after the coronavirus. There has been an enormous amount of money created. There will be a willingness to try and support the global economy, and there is a chronic need for additional infrastructure. That is as true of the developed markets as it is of the emerging markets. India, in particular, needs additional infrastructure, and they really couldn't be building it at a better time when they can get significant discounts on the resources that they require. Well, the Nifty was in negative territory in here today. One thing that I think is contributing to some underperformance by India has been the relative weakness of the currency. You can see, for example, that the rupee has been going sideways really for the last 3 months, but a significant number of other currencies have been strengthening and doing so in a pretty dynamic manner against the dollar. The Brazilian real, for example, has steadied in a rather impressive fashion, unwound about half of its acceleration lower. That is true of just about all of the commodity currencies, whether the real or the rand, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, they have all steadied and are continuing to reflect the continued rebound in industrial resources, but also in the oil price. And oil prices were a little weaker yesterday and were reasonably steady in here today. They continue to hold this break above the $35 area. I continue to think that $20 is about as low as oil prices are likely to go. It's going to be a different story when they get back up towards $60, but we're in the middle of the range right now, and there is the clear scope that we're going to be in a prolonged ranging phase for the foreseeable future. Natural gas is at the lower side of its very lengthy range, which has persisted now for a decade already. There is increasing speculation that there is going to be a clear determination by large energy companies to promote and champion a hydrogen-based economy. One of the reasons for that is Royal Dutch Shell and Exxon are major producers of natural gas, which is the primary feedstock for hydrogen. Hydrogen burns with no fossil fuels. That is a get-out-of-jail-free card for some of those big energy companies so that they can get away from their carbon footprint. Of course, unlocking the hydrogen from the natural gas is polluting in its own right. So they would be justifying that through carbon sequestration or capture, or potentially paying carbon credits until they can get it perfected to a stage where it is neutral. Well, that is going to be a European priority, not least because Europe is a significant energy importer. Now, it's less of a priority everywhere else, but the good news is that natural gas is really very cheap, and that makes it more economic to pioneer the evolution of a hydrogen-based economy. It's also the logical outcome from a secular bear market that eventually, when the price for a globally significant commodity is low enough for long enough, it will encourage new sources of demand. And the hydrogen-based economy is the clear potential outcome for natural gas. Now, we've seen that some of the US companies have begun to garner interest. So Plug Power, for example, has bounced from the region of the trend mean over the course of the last couple of sessions. When we then look at ITM Power in the UK, it got all the way back to test its peak from back in 2006. And now we're seeing some pause and consolidation taking place following what has been a really quite impressive advance, going from 100 and change in March to over 350 in a very short period of time. So we've certainly got some consolidation coming through in some of these smaller shares, but it is still virgin territory in terms of the investment implications, considering that there is practically no hydrogen fuel cell infrastructure globally anywhere at the present time, despite the fact that Toyota has had the Mirai concept vehicle in the market now for the last couple of years. It hasn't exactly been hitting out the lights in terms of its sales potential. I think perhaps the more convincing commercial application for fuel cells will be in the emissionless flight, not least because one of the great benefits of jet fuel is that the further the plane flies, the less fuel it requires because of the weight of the plane goes down because they're burning the fuel. Well, that's equally true of hydrogen. It's not the same for batteries. It means your battery has to be even bigger than it would normally be because the plane has to carry it for the entire journey. When we think about where are we in the overall stock market environment, I think we are heavily dependent on the outlook for the yield curve and government bonds. And the 10-year yield was contracting in here today. Some support has come through for the futures price, and it has had a bounce from the region of the lows put in over the last few months. I think still that there is this clear potential that we're going to see some pause in consolidation in the stock market, and that may help to support bond prices in the short term. One thing that we can certainly look at is the yield curve. And on occasions when it has become inverted and subsequently trended higher, it's been a challenge for stock markets. Now, it has contracted over the last 2 days from underneath the peak put in March. But if we were to see the yield curve spread pushing higher from here in a dynamic manner, that would likely coincide with some selling pressure on the stock market. So it is something I think we do need to pay attention to. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.